committed to every need of the system in general, statewide system in general. But could you comment on those statistics?
Representative Buckles, I think unfortunately, when you look at a budget, just in terms of dollars and cents, it doesn't represent what you were really looking at. And I guess the problem is that it takes more money to administer a four-year institution than a two-year institution because you have more specialized degrees and more specialized departments. And then at the same time, when you take a community college and you know that they are talking about the first 2 years of school, and you take a four-year institution that has the second or the third and the fourth year, where everyone, I think, understands that the class sizes in those programs, as the students start to specialize, is going to be more expensive. So I think if you compare relative dollars for the community college in terms of percentages versus the four-year institution, it's kind of creating a situation where you look at apples and oranges. The Anchorage Community College has, in fact, in the past, in the present, and in the planning process in the future, we have tried to allocate funds that would allow for growth and at the same time be able to know that there are courses that are being offered at ACC in substantial quantities and numbers for other community colleges their size. And that is, in fact, the case. And I think one item that they may have overlooked that we looked at last year, and we found that on an FTE basis, it was cheaper, it was less expensive for community colleges to function in other areas outside of Anchorage and Fairbanks. And Anchorage and Fairbanks, when you balance what it costs to educate for FTE and the community colleges outside of Anchorage and those in Anchorage and in Fairbanks, Anchorage costs more. So that I think when that we don't try to look at and see whether or not you get a fair share of the budget. We look at and find out during the planning process and recommendations from the administration and what the board looked at is to make sure that there is an ample opportunity for those students in the community college system to be educated. And I think that it does take more money to educate students in a four-year institution than it takes in the community college. And that would be my response to your question. Well, Anchorage and Fairbanks are probably relatively the same, but it costs less per FTE in the community college system than the numbers that we had that we looked at last year to educate in the rural areas of the state. Compare the rural areas of the state under the proposals that you talked about, it is significantly less. I think it's something like $2,000 in Kenai and $8,000 in Anchorage or Fairbanks, and maybe we're up to adding full-time faculty and expanding the Anchorage institution. I think we figured for somewhere around $6,000 per student.
Other members have questions? If not, thank you very much for chairing for the committee to take on this.
Thank you. I'd like to, in conclusion, state that at any time during the budget consideration process, if the regents can be of help, offer input, we want to do that. We want to be actively involved. And I think some of the problems that Representative Meek has addressed in the past, I really concur with. We've tended not to communicate, and it's been, we present something, we get a final product, and we have to lean on it after the legislature's adjourned. And what we really need to do is improve that communication. We're responsible in for the making sure that budget is administered within our policy. And you're responsible for some very heavy oversight and financial fiscal responsibilities. So we need to get together and communicate, and if considerations of add-ons or other things come up, we're available to come down and talk about them. I think just the communication alone will close up a lot of spots we had in the past. And I'll tell you, anytime you need to give us a call, we'll get somebody down here, no matter what. Thank you for your having us here.
Mr. O'Rourke, I guess, is a chancellor for the community college.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pat O'Rourke. I'm chancellor for the Community Colleges Rural Education and Extension portion of the University of Alaska System. With me today is Dr. Ed Biggerstaff, who is chairman of our division-wide policy and budget team, which essentially drives our entire planning and budgeting process, and so he will also be utilizing the course of my time to do those issues. I would remind you before we start that today is March 17th. First generation Americans, Irish immigrant parents, he was O'Rourke, therefore, all days of the year.
You'll get some sympathy from the chairman.
Let me give you a brief overview of what this division consists of. We have 10 community colleges in the system, 11 extension centers, a statewide cooperative extension service, the Alaska Native Language Center, National Bilingual Materials Development Center, and assorted minor programs. The community colleges have five parts, essentially, to their mission. The offering of academic transfer work at the first and second year level, the offering of vocational education programs, the offering of developmental education for those people who have not had the prior background to obtain admission into a college or a university, community services, and generally student counseling and student development type programs. The community colleges are area specific. They're not statewide in nature. They attempt to serve a limited geographic area. In general, you will find that our population in the community colleges will be above 99% Alaska. Few rare people new to the state will actually show up on our rolls. They're open entry institutions. You do not have admissions requirements. Therefore, the developmental ed portion becomes a major thrust of the community college program. Our average age normally is above 30. Our full-time, part-time student ratio runs about 20% full-time, 80% part-time. Actually, we have a range from approximately 90% part-time to 78%. But on the average, runs around 80% part-time. We offer both non-credit programs, certificate programs, which would be 1 year duration or less, and two-year associate degree programs. The extension centers carry out similar programs, but on a more limited basis in less populated areas of the state. Additionally, they have a responsibility for arranging upper division and graduate coursework as the needs of their communities dictate, and arranging these in coordination with one of the university centers. The Statewide Cooperative Extension Service Program is a major outreach program, cooperates with state agencies, university branches, and is an attempt to focus the resources of the universities on specific problems that individuals or institutions might have throughout Alaska. During this past year, we offered credit coursework 162 different villages and cities across the state. This year, in our budgetary process, we attempted to implement what we thought were some good management principles, and I think we ought to address them, lest any reverberations have reached you. We implemented something that we refer to as internal resource reallocation. Essentially, what we asked the campuses to do is to take a look at their existing programs and make some hard determinations as to whether or not what they were doing they should continue to do ad infinitum, or whether or not they should plan a phase out of certain program activities. Our intention behind this exercise was threefold. One, to essentially try to work on the management assumption that over a course of years some fluff develops in everyone's budget, and this is a way to tighten it up periodically and to get rid of the loosening. The attempt was to identify those programs, activities that we should no longer be engaged in, and begin to phase those out. The second part of the attempt was to redistribute these arts to better approximate those campuses that have greater needs than others. And the third portion of the exercise was geared toward the trying to invigorate the campuses to compete for some specialized funding in new program areas. Over the past year, we've also begun some major development in trying to better serve some of the smaller areas of the state through statewide programs. Thus, you will find under the Community College Statewide Administration and Instructional Component this year for the first time. The intent behind that instructional component is to assure that we can extend the resources from one campus to another. This year, we have implemented the statewide associate degree nursing program, which will result in licensure at the RN level. That program is approved under the Board of Nursing in Anchorage, but has now expanded its activities to Panama Valley Community College in Fairbanks, Sitka, Ketchikan, Kodiak, and Kenai Peninsula Community Colleges. The way that program would operate, students would attend two fall and spring semesters on their home campus. They would do a 12-week summer session in Anchorage, return to their home campus for an additional two semesters, and then a final 12-week summer in Anchorage, at which time they would be eligible for the licensing exam. So in terms of a specialized program area, it is our attempt to expand that, minimizing the amount of time that someone has to be away from their home community to have access to the program. Additionally, we have developed a statewide petroleum technology program, probably a first in the state in terms of coordination between multi-units. It is jointly sponsored by Kenai Peninsula Community College, Panama Valley Community College, and the Alaska Skill Center. Additionally, recently we have begun cooperation with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Bachelor of Science program in petroleum engineering. Again, it's an attempt, a very, very specialized program area, to expand our resources to other areas of the state without having to necessarily duplicate programs. We have a number of others in the planning stages, statewide fisheries program, air traffic control. We are working on some coordination of military services, human services programs, and early childhood development. The other statewide program that's housed in this division is the University of Alaska Instructional Telecommunications Consortium, which you gave us a major boost last year in terms of beginning some major efforts in this area. In many ways, you know, former Governor Bill Egan used to refer to rural Alaska being the glue that held the rest of the urban areas together. I think the telecommunications system ultimately is going to provide whole new avenues of educational services to rural Alaska that we've not dreamed of being able to do before. We will be able to extend courses through audio conferencing, instructional television, computer-assisted, computer-managed instruction in ways that we have not done before. It is drawing the state closer and closer together, and we think over the next 5 to 6 years that we're really going to have a dramatic change in the way that we approach education in many areas. The operating budget that you have before you, at least our request, is considered to be a very, very modest one. Of course, we always do every year. You'll find that the governor's, I might point out, was more modest, and we would view that one as perhaps too modest. You will find a major emphasis throughout the various units in certain vocational education activities. There's a major attempt to give the Cooperative Extension Service better publications activity and to place some additional agents throughout the state. In a number of cases, it calls for the beginning of some core faculty which have been long lacking at a number of colleges, MATSU in the areas of social science and math, Prince William Sound, the newest college in the system, and Northwest Community College. You'll also find some major emphases on part-time faculty resources, which is an area that we continue to stress and believe we ought to continue to utilize. Over the past 2 years, many of our colleges have been undergoing accreditation review, and so you will find in there in a number of places requests for certain activities to implement certain accreditation recommendations. Again, these would be the core faculty in the areas that I mentioned, from library media resources and other areas, counseling services, and student services staffing at Ketchikan Community College. There is an emphasis on some expanded media services. although the media services for this division is housed at Anchorage Community College, it has a responsibility for the entire division, as well as the University of Alaska Anchorage and Alaska Pacific University. And finally, although it's not particularly glamorous to talk about, there is some very, very basic type things in the budget, administrative positions, and that's and the like, reference to Representative Buchholz's question. One of the reasons we're low is because we do need some additional support in those areas. Facility rental, various registration, accounting clerks, and the like, catalogs, and the rest. The capital budget, I'd like to highlight only a few items. First of all, to mention a philosophy that this division went forward with, recognizing that this was an off year for general obligation bond funding. All new facilities automatically fell to the lowest category priority within our budget development. Instead, we gave our first priority to equipment. We are so tight on instructional equipment in our portion of the system, we've just not been able to keep current in a number of vocational technical areas. Second is life safety improvement. Third is our continuing program of handicap barrier removal on the campuses. Fourth, repair of existing facilities. Fifth, campus improvement. And sixth, new facilities.
This is our campus. Mind defining instructional equipment for them.
Tightly or loosely, sir?
I know that last year you, it seemed like you got a lot in the budget, and then people started complaining they didn't have enough instructional equipment.
Just
I know I had some communication with
variation on that. Anchorage Community College and TVCC did receive a good boost in instructional equipment. Unfortunately, there was only $100,000 appropriated to spread across the rest of the colleges. But generally, instructional equipment would include typewriters for office occupation courses, audiovisual projectors, desks for students, desks to carry out various types of activities in the classroom area, in the instructional area.
Your typical vocation education, the automotive programs, electronics programs, aviation programs, those things are essential to instruction.
Laboratory.
As well as,
yeah, how about the typewriter for professors?
No, that should be budgeted under administrative equipment. A typewriter, for a faculty member, yes, under instructional equipment.
Yeah.
For the administrative offices, under administrative equipment.
Apparently, there may be, Chairman, based on our subcommittee hearings, there may be some variation in how instructional equipment is defined. I would argue for various projects.
One point that has been raised, aside from the university, there's been some requests from people in my district for a skill center in Anchorage, and I've heard other requests for expansion of the skill center in Seward because there's long waiting lists on people to get into those programs. And one of the arguments on the other side is to improve the vocational education programs at the university. But when the legislature makes perhaps some meager efforts at doing that, it didn't seem to work out quite right because, again, the university will let us know that it's really their place to make those kind of decisions. And so the dilemma exists, at least on my part, that should we go ahead and attempt to go forward with this funding for a skill center, or should we try to complement the university budget for vocational education? I'm not sure what to do, so maybe I could give you some advice.
I would, of course, recommend the latter, and I suppose out to some degree of risk in June that we were very appreciative of your legislative add-ons and wanted to know that none of them in our graduate division of the university were turned down. So I do think that we've had a fairly good track record so far, and it is an area that needs improvement. Our preference would be to see the improvement in the vocational education programs of community colleges. I say that in all sincerity. Think that although the board has indicated that they will look at each program area, that they would find this indeed within their scope.
Mr.
Chairman, I think the same may end up going for vocational agricultural education. Of course, trying to expand agricultural development, they mean we need to train the farmers. The university might be willing to have that role. I had one comment, Mr. Chairman. Chancellor O'Rourke mentioned the video teleconference in this room, live two-way from Juneau to Anchorage and Fairbanks, and live one-way to rural Alaska, and the demonstration of what can be done in the area of instructional telecommunications, as well as perhaps a demonstration of exactly how it's used, will be part of the demonstration itself.
Relative to the capital budget, I would like to speak strongly to the three items. The equipment that is in it, in this case, not only the instructional equipment, there is $2.7 million that's primarily spread among the smaller colleges, ACC and TBCC, somewhat excluded from that because of major equipment additions last year, although not totally excluded. There is a separate item in for $500,000 for aviation equipment for the new aviation facility at Anchorage Community College. And additionally, you will find another item in there for administrative equipment, which is often needed at many of the campuses. Our ability to stay current in the electronics area, computer industry, and the rest is really going to necessitate a replacement equipment schedule, which will mean a fairly large volume of dollars on some type of reasonable periodic schedule that we might consider entering, making some discussions as to what a reasonable schedule would be for that type of replacement. Additionally, in the statewide portion of the budget, you will find $600,000 for an online admissions and record system. Although there were indeed many improvements at Anchorage Community College in the registration system this past year, many of the items you read about in the fall in terms of the long delays and the long wait were an attempt to go to a computerized registration process on a system that will not handle that type of volume in that way. The response time is too slow. So our attempt here is to try some major upgrades. And finally, you'll find for Sitka Community College and rural education, primarily the Tulk Delta region, two mobile vocational units. The one in southeastern will be designed to go on board the ferry system and go to a small community for a period of time. The one in the rural education area would be on wheels and would travel to the various communities in those areas, stay there for a period of time. We think this would be a valid experimental approach to certain types of short-term vocational training and certain of the other areas that we would like to attempt. Finally, you will be receiving one budget amendment if you have not already received it, and one request for a supplemental in our area, and that has to do with the fact that this past December, subject to final board ratification at its meeting next week, we did agree with the ACCFC to not reopen negotiations at the close of our contract March 31st, but to extend this existing contract for a period of 1 year at 6.28% base salary increase. So from April 1 to June 30th, that would amount to about $175,000, some places in the neighborhood of $950,000, I think, for full year funding for that for next year. I would like to ask Dr. Bigstaff to comment on the planning and budgeting process that we've utilized, and then to give a very brief overview of Anchorage Community College.
But in the interest of time, I will spend most of the remarks that I had prepared I'd like to don two hats at one time, and that is as chairman of the telecom policy and budget team for CREE and also as president of the community college today. That in the last year and a half that I've been in Alaska and Sitka, I've seen a tremendous system of management operations put into effect for leadership by the university statewide and by Dr. Ross Dawson. And I've referenced to the fact that we're now taking a look at a cycle, a attempt to plan, budget, operate, and evaluate. That kind of a cycle has become dramatically, I think, rigorous as we move into our budget preparation. This year, Dr. O'Rourke went through this budget and policy team approach on top of the reallocation, the resource reallocation that we've already described. My feeling about the resource reallocation is that it was well-tuned, it was well-timed, and it worked. It worked because what it did was produce the development of money. Produced a predetermined money that we knew we had began to plan and develop for FY22 for our operating programmatic expansion. The rigorous review now consists of peer review with the team, the policy and budget team, advisory to Dr. O'Rourke. It begins at the campus, at the local campus, when each of us takes what we have now developed, and in this case, cycle. We then run these by our policy advisory council, which is our local community college council, through our instructional advisory council, through our faculty, through our staff members, back on up, tying together budget specifications, budget requests for active activities and outcomes desired. It goes up to the system, ultimately approved by the policy advisory council, and then forwarded to Dr. Rourke's office. At that point, goes to the budget and policy team. A recommendation of Dr. Rourke prioritizes basic justification on up to the university. I think it's a workable system. I think it's a fair system, and a system of rigorous system, and I look forward to it for the FY83. With 1 year behind our belt, it sounds better, perhaps, than it was the first time around. Was everything forwarded as you see from the government? No, it was not. I would say that the budget policy team probably called out about one-third of all budget requests that came through, based on lack of justification or justification that we thought was not warranted. There are a couple of side benefits to this. One, it helps produce and encourage and sustain a statewide approach to the program. Dr. Rourke has mentioned several of those. Second, it gave us understanding and insight into what's going on the other campus. And understanding and information kind of a much better sense of cooperation. If I can now don the second cap, the third cap, if you will, and become president of ACC, just a couple of three brief remarks in relationship to our budget. Pat has pretty well described the primary purpose and mission of a comprehensive community college in his presentation. I'm pleased to report that at Anchorage Community College, we are, in fact, producing and providing an ever-increasing number of opportunities for the people in the Anchorage area. To indicate that, our fall semester enrollment, our fall 1980 semester enrollment showed a 10% increase in student-fitted hours produced and in headcount. Our spring semester 1981 headcount is, at the present time, 12% over spring of last year. This includes Anchorage Community College, Eagle River, and the military bases, 13% increase in SPE, and 13% increase in our credit hours. By the end of the semester, we'll have over 9,000 students in the total Anchorage Community College service area. As Pat mentioned earlier, 80% of our students are part-time. One thing that was not mentioned, however, is that we've seen an interesting reversal in terms of the male and female students. We now have 60% of all of our students being female. The average age at ACC typifies that in comprehensive community college, and that is 30 years of age. The trend, in my opinion, over the next 2 to 5 years, long-range or long-distance delivery by telecommunications, previously mentioned, expansion of our career and vocational education courses and programs, developmental education, and community education. One note having to do with our academic transfer programs. They're holding their own. An academic transfer program is a cycle back and forth depending upon the educational and the job market. I want to personally express my appreciation to each of you and other legislators who gave us great support last year with $700,000 in instruction equipment money, $600,000 in renovation, that is providing the ventilation that we would not otherwise have had, and a $350,000 summer school budget. We had a full-fledged summer school budget last year. We will have another one this year. My appreciation to all of you. At the present time, the Aviation Complex Phase 1 is being constructed. It will be completed August 1981. Over the next 3 years, our request will be the Applied Science Building, Phase 2, and a much-needed administration specialized classroom. In closing, FY80 at ACC ended with a balanced budget, a legislative approval, which I've already mentioned, sufficient money to operate a summer school with additional operating funds for FY81 and removal of 35% debt service on our tuition dollars generated from all campus courses, we're in better shape financially than we have been. However, we must, if we are to maintain a vital and responsive education institution, continue to have your support, particularly in the areas of off-campus community-based programs, staff travel, professional development, additional teachers in critically needed areas, labor pool money, security so we can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at both UAA and ACC. Program expansion. In closing, I would say that we at ACC strongly support the University of Alaska budget request now before the legislature, which is essential to our continuing to offer quality education to Anchorage and Alaska citizens. Thank you.
I have a question under Aviation Complex. I've got a request, I don't think they were in the budget, but I've got a request for aviation mechanics. policy and add on. But is that the phase one building?
Those were not add ons.
No, no, the phase one building is being completed.
The phase one will be completed August
of
81.
Phase two is not funded?
It is not funded. But one correction I wanted to make is that the two aviation features were approved by ourselves, by CLEA, and by the university. It's not approved by the government.
Oh.
Is that what those, have you seen those conclusions?
No.
I must have, excuse me, $400 million, I must have got money to get expenses. And their request was for full funding for the aviation complex. So here is that we funded a building and then didn't think as much as we might have about operation and maintenance.
There are three items in the budget, approximately $190,000 for the facility operation itself, utilities, custodial egress. That is in the board's request and is in the governor's recommendation. He has recommended that. There's approximately $78,000, I believe, for two aviation faculty members. That is in the board's request, but it is not in the governor's recommendation. And the $500,000 additional equipment for that complex is in the board's request, but is not in the governor's recommendation.
Community colleges, I just wanted to know if the priorities of your community colleges and areas are mainly in the academic area. What I'd like to see is perhaps that we expand the extension services and voc educational in community colleges towards fisheries because of the development of fish hatchery throughout Alaska, the development of mining, and also agriculture. Can you expand on this?
We try to have a balance between vocational education and academic transfer. Probably, if anything, we might tilt slightly more toward the vocational area. Perhaps about 50% of our activity would be there, 40% of our activity in the academic transfer, maybe 10% of our activity in community service developmental type areas. And so that's about the general background and the ratio that I think we follow at the present time. Statewide fisheries plan that has been worked on, there is a major role in just what you pointed out, the extension activities of the community colleges in that whole resource development area.
I just expanded on fisheries, mining, and agriculture.
Agriculture, we are in the beginning process of looking at the statewide program activities there. Mining, per se, we have not begun work on. We have had a concentration in the petroleum area so far. We're looking at trying to take a look at other energy resources, but I have to say we're in a very, very beginning stage.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Ma'am, I appreciate your interest here, but we're going to keep to our schedule here. And I think, out of courtesy, if you were wishing to speak, you should have contacted the chairman or somebody on the committee first. And so, but next, we'd like to hear from Chancellor Paradise. That'd be very satisfactory. Well, we do have a schedule that we're trying to maintain here. I announced it at the beginning of the meeting. Chancellor?
Members of the committee, I would like to note that even
Excuse
though
me,
my
sir. Can we have some assistance here? I'd be glad to pass this stuff out for you. Go ahead, Jim.
I noted that you were indeed kind to Dr. Roth. And although my name is not Oprah Diet, I would like to note that I do wear some green. She does not. And I do speak with a little bit of an accent. She does not. So I do hope that has some connection with your attitude this afternoon. Dr. Barton, earlier this afternoon, spoke about planning and how important it is for the university and for the state to have a rational planning process that will facilitate both the development programs and facilities of the university, as well as services for our students and the faculty of the state. I would like you to note the paper that was passed with you. That is a product of such a planning. We think of planning many times in abstract terms because it makes good sound sometimes. It's nice to say something about planning. And I want you to have an example. The University of Alaska is actually doing concrete things with planning. When I came here in 1979, it's exactly 3 years now, and Dr. Barton followed me about 3 months, 4 months later, we found that in a small town like Juneau, we had two institutions. They were competing for the same resources, the same students, and sometimes the cooperation was not as good as it should have been. Now, planning provides for efficiency, effectiveness of services, and definitely some way to use the resources more wisely. As a result of the planning that we have done so far, the two institutions were reorganized into a single one. I think that planning, the result of the reorganization, the result of the reorganization, has produced the institution. It is much more efficient, you can see from the chart. It's much more cost effective. At the same time, it is much more effective in terms of the services and the programs it provides to the Juneau community as well as to all of Southern Alaska. In our planning for the years to come, we are also thinking about ways to expand that now, because we have this in place, now how do we make it much more useful to Southeast Alaska and to Alaska in general. In our plans, it's being formulated, is that we will have a closer cooperation with community colleges in Texas County and Sitka, and we will definitely work together with Chilton Jackson College in such programs as Fashion for Teachers and education and family business. So the planning process that Dr. Barton was talking to you about is a real thing. It is ongoing. It might be started a little late in this university, but it is there. And you will see the result of it every year. And I will say to you that within 5 years, you will see a entirely different university, a university before. One of the problems that we have had, not only with Juneau but as institutional large, is that we really have not been taken seriously in the past. I do think that from now on, our presence will be noted. And I do think that you, as legislator, and if the last year's performance again repeats itself, recognize that, and that you will come to our system to develop a university that is going to be really the proud of. It will be a civil service to the state. You, in particular, has grown 287% as an institution since 1973. This past year, this present year, our projection is that we will grow for about 10% in full-time students, full-time equivalent. This is a significant growth, ladies and gentlemen, an institution located in a small town, as Juma is, with a limited service population. First off, it's a lot for that population. The makeup of our students is as follows. We have over 12% of our students are minorities. 62% of our students are women. Almost half of them, 46%, are married. 55% of them are over 30 years old, 30 or 30, over 30 years old. Almost 20% of them are over 40 years old. We do serve a very special clientele. And we do serve a need that's not served by other institutions. I will not bother you with what programs we have and how those programs serve the communities of Southeast Alaska. But I will concentrate on only four or five programs. One of them, three of them, we started last year, or this current year, and only because you were kind to put some add-ons in our budget. And I agree with the Father Rourke. My faculty and students loved those outdoors. They were good to us. They helped us develop three different services, but they were so much needed in this area of the state. The jail program, which by the way is for the federal state. We were given seed money because there was not enough seed money to begin a statewide program in all the correctional institutions in the state. This program is going very well. The only complaint I hear is that it's not funded enough to take the needs, take care of the needs of all the individuals who want to avail to the education service provider. These, ladies and gentlemen, are people who eventually will leave our correctional institutions. They will come back to the community. And by giving them a space for an education while they're incarcerated, they become useful citizens instead of going back to jail again, having for us to pay for their legal expenses as well as their fees. Another program that we started this year is the professional teacher education program. This is a program that was needed for years in the state. The public school board administrators and teachers had requested this for a long time. For some reason, we did not respond to it. Well, we did not respond to it in a way that the public schools were not to respond to it. Last year, again, we're not gone, and requested by us. The legislature gave us the money to begin this program. It is amazing how successful it is already, even the very beginning. All the vocational educators in the state, the superintendents, have come to our help. They're trying in any way that they can to assist us in making the program effective in their own area. add-on to our budget, a partial add-on, was the funding of an outreach program. Through this program, we have been able to place the 13 communities in Southeast Alaska permanent individuals who assess the needs of those communities. They contact us, they tell us what the needs are in those communities in terms of education services, and we then attempt to provide all those needs as far as our budget and resources. This semester, which was this last semester, have moved quicker in this. The University of Alaska in 1955 made a decision to create a school of fisheries in Juneau. But since 1955, many boards have gone by. As you know, having presidents have gone by, not to mention chancellors. And these things lose continuity somehow. There are pressing needs here and there. The system was, you know, the system is not just Juneau, the system is all over the state. But I do believe that at this time we are going to do something about it. The president visited with you about the fisheries program, the fisheries plan that has been developed by the university. Fisheries is a big business in the state. It's very important for us. Extremely important. I don't think now it's time that fisheries will be located only in one place. And what is Adam mentioned, we just cannot say that it can be just in one place. At the visual level, it must be divided. I think that plan does that. And if we really forget about regionalism, I think we are going to have an excellent fisheries program in the state to serve the fisheries program and the rest of the fishermen, as well as the sportsmen in our state. It's an important resource. We will take care of it. We are late. We understand that. We are sorry about it. But I hope not too late. Really hope that we're not too late. Specifically about our budget. Father Earth was saying about mother's budget. Believe me, UAJ is a mother's budget. It has only 23 items, short 23 items. And I mean the budget approved by the board. For a reason. It amounts to a mother's $767,000. Believe me, that's not adequate. I complain about the board's action. I'm simply saying that even the board had to stop someplace. And although they realize that the needs are much greater than that, they felt that this is really what judiciously we should ask. And we hope that this will be brought forward. They asked for $767,000. The governor recommended
which budget are you talking about?
The operational budget for this year. For this FYAJ.
Total for UAJ?
UAJ was $767.1. The governor recommended $317.7. Increase. Yeah, above the combination budget.
I just talked about the good part of the budget. That's what I see. That's good.
It is my hope that you're going to give our request a thorough, rather upstanding. I don't believe in that. But I do hope that you will look at it very carefully and restore as much as possible. Good, all of it. But we really need all of it for this coming year. It is important. It is important that UAJA is to continue to be a viable position, but to be moved along in some kind of pace. UAJA is, as you know, is a very new institution. It's a developing institution. And if you, you know, they complain about the expenditures, or the expense of higher education, the cost of higher education. But if you have been in law for years, I have been. And if you have been in a developing institution, I have been. You will realize that the expenditures of UHA as a developing institution, but if you were a mature institution, I will not say as a developing institution, are not extraordinarily high. In the capital improvement, I sorry that the representative Adam left, but at least one or two of you talked about professional technical education. 2/3, 60%, 66% of our construction budget earmarked for the Board of Regents for visual technology and other technologies for vocational education. We are asking for a building right by the Institute within Aurora Harbor, Aurora Basin, and Harris Harbor. We have a piece of land there. We are asking for a building to prepare that will put together all our technical vocational programs, and of course, the most important one of them will be the Chief College.
Is that university land now?
Yes. It's the piece of land between Harris Harbor and Aurora Basin University.
How did the university happen to get that land?
He bought it about 2 years ago.
He bought it?
Bought with this perspective in mind to develop a technical education. We have other items in the capital construction budget that will not go you with details about it. We made a presentation to the subcommittee and they have all the information in that respect. I really feel, Chairman Cotton, you were the one familiar about professional education, that the University of Alaska history about developing good professional technical education is safe. Since the arrival of President Barton, that became very evident. That President Barton believed, I don't say this because he's here. If he didn't believe in it, I wouldn't say it. He believed in professional technical education. He also knows, as you all know, that Alaska has been very slow in actually training its own ambassadors in technical education areas. We have not done a very good job of it. And I think we believe that it's about time that we do that. As I mentioned, we had a hearing before the before Representative Rogers subcommittee. I would like to take this opportunity to thank both him and Representative Backwell for the thoroughness at which they conducted the proceedings of the committee. There were several scores of students, faculty, businessmen, citizens testified, or just came in to listen. And I was pleased with the way the committee met those individuals, questions they asked, and the thoroughness by which they examined our budget. I appreciate people like that, and I am not ashamed to say here that I really appreciate their good work. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further questions?
Top level people, and on the 8th level funding certain
Chancellor Harrison has played a role.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Frank Harrison. I'm the Chancellor of the University of Alaska Anchorage. Recognizing the lateness of the hour and the demands on the room, I'll keep my comments as short as possible. As many of you know, I'm sure the University of Alaska at Anchorage is a fledgling institution, scarcely 4 years old. It's a young and an ambitious institution, much like the state of Alaska itself. Our mission is one that is appropriate to a university situated in a major population center of the state. As with most universities, our principal concentration is on instruction and research and service. In terms of specific programs, we focus on the health sciences, as exemplified by our accredited School of Nursing, the social sciences, as exemplified by our accredited Department of Social Sciences, physical sciences, humanities, education, business and public administration, as well as engineering. Full range of programs, again, appropriate to an area with the largest population concentration in the state of Alaska. Our faculty is young, 35 or 40% of most of them have tenure, young, dedicated, competent, and very spirited. I'm also very proud of our student population. The student population, I might say, that is obviously the reason the university exists in the first place, and one that is increasingly committed to the University of Alaska Anchorage. A survey conducted by our institution scarcely more than a year ago of some 600 students indicated that 99% of those students preferred to do all 4 years of their baccalaureate degree work at the University of Alaska Anchorage. In the recently completed fall semester, our full-time undergraduate student population, defined as those taking 15 credit hours or more, increased 30%. We are moving gradually, perhaps not so gradually, from a transit urban-type campus characterized by large numbers of part-time students to a full university, comprehensive, and one characterized by larger numbers of full-time students. Again, I think this is also exemplified by our athletic programs, which, as you might suppose, are populated by full-time students. Our headcount at the University of Alaska Anchorage was approximately 3,800 at the end of the fall semester. We are increasing enrollments. Over the past 5 years, on a fall semester to fall semester annual basis, our headcount has increased an average of about 16%. There are two reasons why the student population at the University of Alaska Anchorage is increasing so rapidly. One is, of course, the increasing cost of higher education in the lower 48 relative to Alaska, combined with increases known to us all, substantial increases in airfare getting young people to and from the lower 48. In addition, improved quality of instructional programs at the University of Alaska Anchorage. Quality, I might add, that is attested increasingly by high school counselors in the greater Anchorage area, in the Kenai area, that send young students to us in increasing numbers. UAA is basically an institution committed to improving what we believe to be the ultimate renewable resource, the human mind. We have many goals at UAA, and again, given the time limits that are upon us, I'm not going to share too many of them with you, but I would like to focus on one in particular. We are an institution committed to balanced growth. By balanced growth, I mean a balance between academics and athletics, between academics and non-academics. We are a young institution, a fledgling institution, and we believe that if we're going to grow and to develop the root structure that's necessary, provide higher education, four-year education, baccalaureate degrees, graduate degrees in the public sector to the citizens of South Central Alaska, our institution must develop on a balanced basis. We believe that unbalanced growth can only lead to difficulties and problems that we believe that we can avoid through planning and through the support that you have given us in previous fiscal years. We They're also an institution characterized by a solid commitment to outreach, which is to say programs that extend outside of the greater Anchorage area to provide service in specialized areas throughout the entire state. A good example of that would be our nursing program, which recently expanded its scope to encompass nursing in the Tanana Valley, specifically at UAS. Our budget priorities for fiscal year 82 are rather straightforward. I would suggest that in a comparison between operating and capital budget, and given the relative youngness or newness of our institution, as you might suppose, the capital budget would probably take precedence. We did put in a somewhat higher priority in our capital budget request for fiscal year 82 some instructional equipment, for example, for our Division of Engineering, and also some necessary renovation. But the big ticket item, the single big ticket item in our capital budget, is a $13.8 million classroom building, one that I might add is part of our six-year capital forecast that was recently completed at the request of the governor's budget staff, and a building that is part of our framework plan for the development of UAA over the decade of the 1980s. A building that, in my particular opinion, I believe is probably our highest priority, although recognize that my opinions are not necessarily the sole determinant of our budget, because our budget is prepared, as others have said before me, in a very democratic fashion, with inputs from all areas of UAA and from some external constituencies as well. On the operating budget side,
while we're still talking about the capital budget, were there any capital items in your bond package for UAA that passed last fall?
Not solely for UAA, Representative Cotton, a bookstore for use by both UAA and ACC.
Was the building requested last year?
The building was requested last year, yes. I'm not sure of the precise figure, Representative Rogers, I can get it for you, but in excess of $300 million. That's over a six-year period, by the way. That's over a six-year period. This is a provisional forecast, and one that we've done before at the request of the governor's budget staff. Basically, we can use either a new building or a new major parking structure in each of every year between now and 1990. If our framework plan, as presently conceived, is going to be achieved.
$300 million, that's a lot of $13 million building.
Certainly is. Part of that is a $100 million health sciences building, for example, and other kinds of things. On the operating budget side, we solidly support the Board of Regents approved budget, which for UAA is 31 line items, constituting some $1.6 million of incremental monies. Again, the top priority items here represent our commitment to a balanced development of the institution, a balance between instruction and essential positions on the administrative side, also with appropriate amounts for books to increase our library holdings to the standards of the American Library Association, as well as certain essential items such as $65,000 for rental of classrooms from the Anchorage School District. That is the second highest priority item in our operating budget, reflective of our increasing space crunch. I might add that our top priority budget item is for some custodians to maintain the building that will come online at UAA in August of this year, an omission in previous budgets, but again, very definitely related to the need for space and our desire to provide for classrooms and laboratories and other kinds of things. At UAA, our figures show that, as I mentioned, at the end of fall semester, we provided for about 3,800 students. That's our headcount. We have approximately 18 classrooms, six laboratories, and one auditorium, constituting the space that is directly under the control of UAA. I'm using control only in the most general sense, that is to say space that we can be sure of getting to put on our classes at desirable times of the week to serve our student population.
Okay. You've got 18 classrooms and 6 labs you've got control of now. What other space do you use that you don't have control of?
We've been using over the last 2 or 3 years space from the Wendler Junior High School, the Anchorage School District, to put on about 25 or 30 sections of classes in the evening, Monday through Thursday.
How many classrooms?
Approximately 15 classes, classrooms, 12 to 15 classrooms.
You've got only 18 on the campus?
That's correct.
15 over at Wendler, and
the ones at Wendler are again, the school district was going to charge us rental on that this year. We asked them to hold off on it because we've not had time to include it in our budget. We have an estimate of what those classrooms will cost us in fiscal year 82. Approximately $65,000, as I mentioned a moment ago, that's the second highest priority in our operating budget. We believe that with our enrollment increases, we will have to use those classrooms again at night. We're particularly in a space crunch at night on the campus. That's both the UAA campus and the ACC campus.
But that's not because you're short on space, it's just you're going to get those classes at night anyway, right?
It is because we're short on space. The classes are given at night basically because the student population that we have in these instances are mature working students, and they are only able to attend the classes.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. That. So, I mean, what I'm saying is that if we that's really your shortfall as far as classroom space is that it's those 15 classes. What about labs? Are you using labs anyplace else?
No.
Is there any other space you're using?
No, not at the present time.
One quick question. How many classrooms are the new $13.8 million building provide?
We're in the process of configuring that at the moment, but I would say approximately 12 to 15. I really don't have that figure. We have formulated a committee to attend to the interior design of that building, and that committee is just now beginning its work. We know the site. We know the departments that will go in there. We're not precisely certain of the amount of classrooms, but the major... A goodly portion, I should say, of that building will be devoted to classroom skills. That's our principal shortfall right now.
Okay, I got the general idea. That's what I was after. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Any
questions the committee would entertain, I'd be pleased to answer.
I guess we're on good time.
Thank you very much.
And Chancellor Cutler, patient man, you tell me.
Chairman Cotton, members of the Finance Committee, I'm Howard Cutler, Chancellor of the University of Alaska Department. I'll try to keep my remarks to just two themes. Appreciate the opportunity to participate in the subcommittee's teleconference meeting the other day for 3 hours, and I think if there's one thing that came across to me during that 3-hour presentation is that we may be, we might be too articulate, but we're certainly vocal, and that the enthusiasm with which the several speakers presented their case, I think, is a real indication of the dedication of the faculty for each of their causes and things. One thing that came out in that was the shortage they felt of supplies in faculty development. You heard that theme again and again. And I think that's an indication of what happens when a campus erodes over time with cutbacks and inflation. These are the areas that never really catch up. So it's no surprise. These are areas in which you do not find the type of support, and they're not very exciting things because you can't present them much as a program kept continuation of what we're doing in support of them. I'd like to speak to the job we're doing, because I think you have a right to know what type of product you're getting out of it. In terms of serving the state, we have students from 129 towns, villages, and cities in Alaska. 129. Just give you some indication of the breadth and recruitment that we're doing, pertinent to Representative Buffalo's earlier question of, are we getting out? I think it's a very broad coverage, and they come from all parts of the state. In our student employment, we have more job offers open than we can furnish in our graduates in business, in education, in engineering, and in land management. We have lesser job opportunities in the arts and the biological science. The very few schools that can put forth this type of demand for their students. In fact, we've had longtime Alaskans come back to the graduate from the outside, come to our placement service and say, I should have graduated from UAF. Would you help me get a job? Because I can't get a job elsewhere. Of course we help them get a job in place if we can. But our students are really in great demand, giving an indication of the type of service that we are performing for our students within the state. And what are we asking for this time? We're asking for support for those areas which reflect our increasing enrollment. Our increase in enrollment has been the 7% compounded headcount since the spring of 1975. Each year we go up 7%. And in credit hours taught, 8% has been our compounded annual increase. So in English, we must teach the students reading and writing and composition, regardless of the field of technical expertise in which they go into. We must teach them how to compute. We must teach them how to write. We're asking for additional support in the area of economics. We're asking it for the technician level course in agriculture. You'll find that high on our list within the request. We're asking it for support of our new Bachelor of Science degree program in petroleum engineering, which we hope to will enjoy the final approval of the Board of Regents at their next meeting. We're asking for support of our summer session, which has been in the past on a reimbursable basis or self-supporting basis. We think it should be totally supported as others. The historical situation, but these are the areas in our operating budget that I would point out stand out as the support that we need. Within the area of capital budget, you find the same theme again and again. The first priority of the Chancellor's was for improvement of the records system. The second top priority you will find was in instructional equipment. And you've heard that from every one of us. And this is the area in which we sorely need again. Again, areas that erode over time from inflation and cutbacks and never really catch up. I'm glad that the item of the library addition is brought up. For the most economical use of that space in which we're building, we need to build the bigger building now, not just the smaller. Why do we get into this? As Representative Rogers has said, it's a foot per door. It's very distressing to us. Put in a request, have it cut back, and cut back, and cut back, and then be told, I need to get more in the beginning. Well, we always asked for more, but we were willing to accept the compromises as it went along. And that's why it ends up this time. But too often, I'm sure, for your comfort and for mine. We need safety on campus. A fire pumper, a hose drying rack is not a very exciting item. When you sit in a place responsible for the safety and welfare of the students and the handicap or the architectural barriers needs, these we have put high on our capital list. Then we need to have a need for buildings, which you probably heard from our student representatives. Moore Hall needs improvement in its second floor in order to make it livable. The Patty Building, our athletic building, the most overly used building on campus. We need additions to there. Then we have a one crunch in terms of the faculty area is in the research space. And you will notice there's an item in there in terms of the Elder Building for those. Those are the highlights of our capital request. In the research budget, I'd like to talk a little bit about procedure here in research, namely that when the research that we do is mostly on a competitive basis, how do we decide what research is going to be done? This is decided because we run competition with all schools in the country for contracts and research grants from the federal government. What we need from the state is that structure of equipment and expertise in terms of faculty that can be the best bidders in the country for this. This is why we have been second in environmental research funds received from the federal government. This is why we've done so well at the university, because we've had your support in terms of basic equipment. We've got to be up to date. We must have the latest computers. We must have the latest laboratory equipment. Otherwise, the research projects don't come out. But more than that, we have to have the brains. And this we've done, we're proud of the research we've done in the past, but it made us quite heavily dependent upon federal support. We need your continued support in backing this infrastructure, which seems to be the end word at the present time. What does research do? It gathers new ideas, it gathers new information and data, it disseminates it. And this is another thing, is what the university serves as research on. To get out the results of the research, both at the elementary school level, the high school level, the university level, the public level, AEIDC, ISER, the Marine Institute, Institute of Arts Biology, the Northern Engineer, all of these are putting forth technical information in readable terms to the public at their level. Now, in doing research, we train at the same time. And this is how we're different from private research agencies or other agencies in the state government. We train graduate students while doing the research, and we see that the information is disseminated that is learned from the research. This is the strength of the land-grant university system. If you'll note in that now what we're asking for, one of the first ones on the list is a forest management professor. We have needs in the area of forest management which we have not met within this state's present time. Marine periodical is the next item. Again, this is a dissemination item to get out the information that we already know about our great coastline. Coal conversion, another item high in our needs for research. Seafood processing, marketing, all the study of the outer shelf that we have. These are just some of the items that you will find at the top of our list in our priority. Gentlemen, I appreciate the opportunity to make this presentation to you and hope that Fairbanks for once will come out somewhere off the bottom of the heap and a little more up in our issues. Would that answer any questions?
Well, I won't make any editorial comments. You're a good politician.
Thank you, sir. That's the highest compliment you can pay.
Are there questions? For thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
How about Bill Zybeck? Is he still here? Would you like to come on up? We hear from Kerry Roseberg all the time, and I'm not sure we can catch him later. Yeah, we are going to try to leave at 5, so I understand you live in Juneau, and so if you feel like you've been cut short here, you can try to fish for another hour.
Okay. First, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Bill Zybeck. I'm here as the director of the Alaska Statewide Student Association. I'm a full-time student at the university. The association represents the organized student government around the state, the organized student government in the University of Alaska system. On March 1st, we concluded a two-day statewide conference here in Juneau, and I'd like to present you with some of the positions that we developed on the university budget and on the library. For the last 4 years since our organization was established, we've come to the legislature and made requests for additions and modifications to the university budget. And we're doing that again this year because the university is only just beginning to become responsive to student needs. However, the era of students coming to the legislature and requesting these changes in the budget may be ending, and that's for two reasons. The first reason is the Statewide Student Association has become very effective in educating the student government associations on the local campuses in budget planning and priority development. The second reason, and the most significant we feel, is that by organizing students and developing a coherent voice, we have made some tremendous inroads in student involvement in the university policy and budget decision-making process. This is a goal that the student associations have been working for a number of years. 4 years ago, we only had one student on a chancellor-level policy and budget team. This year, there's only one major administrative unit that doesn't have a student at that level. 4 years ago, we had no student involvement in the statewide administration. This year, we have a student in the statewide administration at the policy and budget level, and we have two students on the university policy or university planning council. So we think we've made some good successes within the university. And most of these successes in student participation have occurred during the past year. And we see indications of this participation expanding. And if this expansion continues, then students' needs should be, and we believe will be, met within the system, thus alleviating the need for us to go around the system and go around the internal process and come directly to you to voice our legislative needs. The Statewide Student Association's objective this year has been to get student involvement in all levels of university decision making. And we believe that this is a legitimate role for the student because as consumers, our interests are often not great in a number of extraneous pressures which detract from directly or purely educationally oriented interests. This is often the case with faculty, administrators, and staff members because unfortunately they have accounting requirements, budgetary requirements, salary needs, and political interests that often the students don't have to contend with. So often, in short and simply stated, we believe that the University of Alaska is here for the students and should represent the students. And that's what we've been working for in the past 4 years. Thus, we believe that the first factor in increased student involvement has been the organized advocacy of student interest through the statewide organization and the local student government association. The second factor, which we believe has impacted student participation, is the role that President Barton has played in addressing and advocating student involvement in the university. President Barton is the first executive of the university since the late 40s to actively facilitate student participation in the university. Not only have the students seen indications from the president, in terms of reform, but we've also seen a greater responsiveness on the part of the Board of Regents. This has been to a large degree a result of the efforts of Regent Tim Burgess. For the first time, the student regent has the respect of both the students of the state and also the respect of members of the Board of Regents itself. We're hopeful that this interaction and support between the Alaska Statewide Student Association, the president of the university, the Board of Regents, will result in a more responsive university system. President Barton has recognized that student interests and other interests in the university are diverse, and for the first time, that those interests can be integrated through the planning system. He's developed what we believe is a good plan to accomplish this. From the perspective of student involvement, he has suggested that students be included in the policy and budget development process from the department level up, and that student participation continue in all levels of the university, that budget hearings be held on each campus to allow members of the university, including students, faculty, and legislators, and local interest to participate in the development of issues related to the university. The point that I really want to make here is that once that we're sure student interests are reasonably considered within the university's policy and budget system, the scope of our lobbying efforts in Juneau concerning the budget will be greatly reduced. Because of the positive changes that we've seen this year, the representative of the students at their statewide conference of March 1st voted unanimously to support full funding of the university budget as requested by the Board of Regents. We also voted for additional funding for the university library system, and I've got copies of my testimony which outline those two positions in specific that I'll distribute to you. That concludes my testimony.
So, Bill, the major budget add-on that students are asking for is additional library operations?
Yes, that's true. The way the organization works, the statewide organization works, is it develops statewide priorities. And these are priorities that are agreed upon by all members of the university system, all members of the student government associations around the state. And their two priorities this year are full funding of the university budget and additional supplemental funding for the libraries.
So then other things that have been brought in by the UHA Student Association or the UAF are not part of that statewide plan put together by the add-on.
That's right. Each individual campus has its own local priorities, and the statewide association facilitates the delivery of those priorities, and that's also listed on my testimony there, the individual campus priorities. But at the same time, we develop what we believe are the most important statewide priorities.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you.
Jerry, did you have an ability to summarize your comments?
Let me just mention, and it just really a quick summary, because I did pass out what I had to say, and it's there in writing. The reason that I have come here is because I cannot find a proper forum in the state of Alaska to vent a problem that has been going on for about 3 years.
Let me warn you, madam, that if you have a request to approach the finance committee about something other than the budget, I wish that you would have let me know. As a chairman, it would have been a courtesy. One of the committee members. Nobody in this committee has asked me to hear your presentation. You've got your stuff in writing here. If you have some comments on the budget, we'd love to hear it. Otherwise, I'm afraid that we're not really available for just a general discussion about problems that I'm sure are very serious and that I've been hearing about for quite some time.
Well, I do apologize, and I should have done that, but I didn't realize what the sequence was. I went over to the Senate this morning, and I didn't realize that I should come, and you're right. I mean, it was impolite.
Well,
and I certainly do apologize.
Okay.
And I like your button.
Thank you. We are adjourned.